Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The Doc Rivers interview brought to you by Converse Basketball. To the hometown team, congratulations on bringing home number 17. Good morning, Doc. How you feeling?
I'm tired, but it's a good tired.
How many hours sleep have you gotten since last we saw you at the Garden Tuesday night, early Wednesday?
Oh, not much. I think two the first night and probably about five last night. Man. So I'm working my way to 8 hours.
Hey, we heard a nasty rumor, and Jerry, I will have to give my partner credit here, came up with this. The dress shirt that was soaked in the red Gatorade, we could auction this off for huge bucks because, you know what, it was a monumental, groundbreaking event because nobody gets Gatorated on an NBA floor. We heard that you threw the shirt away.
No. We're not going to do that, but I like the idea of auctioning off. I think that would be pretty cool.
Can we do that?
The charity of your choice.
Yeah,
Doc.
Shamrock Foundation, whatever you say.
Well, it's funny. The guys who obviously make my clothes from ECC, they called me and they wanted it. And I said, no, we're going to auction it off. So you know what? I'm going to give it to you guys to auction off.
Excellent. And your choice was Shamrock Foundation?
Yes.
Terrific. Excellent.
I love it. I think
tomorrow.
That's a great idea.
Yeah.
Do it tomorrow?
We'll do it tomorrow.
It's sitting in my closet, hanging, actually. It doesn't look right with the other things.
Get it washed and pressed, and then we'll
No.
I'm just kidding.
No wash.
Hey, is the bucket around somewhere?
I could get it, I'm sure.
Yeah, get the bucket. That'd make a nice little double thing. Huh?
I tell you, for a little bucket, a lot of Gatorade came out of that thing,
yeah,
I'll tell you
put
that.
Put a little package together.
Yeah, the bucket and the shirt together. Terrific.
We don't want Doc to sign it, do we?
Yeah, we do.
You want to sign the
Absolutely.
Shirt?
Absolutely.
We should get myself and Paul.
Don't sign the
Just
pink.
Sign it.
Don't sign the pink part. The pink part
no.
is the unique part.
It's mostly pink.
You know what? Symbolically, have you and Paul sign it over the heart.
Yeah. I love that.
You like that?
You guys, are you guys in the marketing department?
We're not as stupid as we look, Doc. Hey, let me go forward chronologically to like 20 years from now, because there's a bunch of stuff we want to talk to you about. But Doc, and maybe this is a more fair question to ask you in a week or two, what particular basketball moment this year, and you can start in Rome if you want, will you play over and over and over again in your mind 5 and 10 and 20 years from now when you remember the season?
Wow, there's a lot of them.
Yeah.
B.J. Brown's shot against Cleveland is actually one that I would remember right off the top. But I would say Rome in general. Just the first exhibition game, I remember after the game walking in with my coaches, and I said, if we stay healthy and if we continue to buy in, I think it's going to be very tough for a team to beat us four times in a series.
Did they ever stop buying in, Doc?
No, they really didn't. There was times when I think they got tired, just mentally with some of the defensive things we were doing. There were times, there were certain games where the ball movement stopped, where one guy wasn't scoring or didn't get touches, and you had to remind them of the goal. But overall, it stayed pretty much on task. I thought all three of the guys, the big threes, leadership in that were phenomenal. It's, with the young guys, you'd be amazed how many times you have to remind them about team play and things like that. And when you have veterans like those three guys and P.J. Brown coming in and Sam and Pose, and I think it makes it a lot easier.
Doc, the nature of your job, it seems to me, changed from one off season to the next. Obviously, a year ago with a young team and the 24 losses and the 18 in a row, 24 wins and 18 losses, there was one set of standards is what you were trying to accomplish. This year, obviously, with a new cast of characters and the big three, it was different. You got them to buy into, deferring. We were just talking about this before you came on the air. Deferring their superstardom, their shots, their touches, all their glory for the sake of the team, and you got them to buy into defense. It seems to me that was the hard part. Does it change again next year, since this is the ultimate object lesson that You bought into what I told you would work. It sure as heck worked. Now, does your job change next year because they bought into the system and now it's something else?
Yeah, you know, the system is sold. I can say that. You know, they really trusted the offense and the defense. I mean, the last game of the year, obviously, against the Lakers, both clicked perfect. You know, the extra passing. One time we almost got a 24-second violation because we were passing up good shots, looking for great shots. The defensive rotations were great. That part will be easy. The sell of them doing it again as far as the work part, that'll be the tough part.
Yeah.
And I know that going in. I've already given that some thought.
Hey, this is a question that you and Kevin and Paul and Ray could not have answered until the night before last, but now I can ask it. Now that you've drunk from the championship cup, if you will, is the feeling that you had an addictive feeling that makes you want much, much more than you had? Or is there just a little bit of, my thirst has been quenched, I know what it tastes like, I'm not nearly as maniacal to get it again?
Well, I would say my thirst has been quenched, but I think it makes you want it more. You know, you want to do it again.
Mm-hmm.
It felt great. And guys, I think, as crazy as it sounds, yesterday felt better than the day we won it, and today feels even better. Having said that, I'm already thinking, and I think, and I'm sure my players are not doing that yet, but you definitely start thinking, man, let's get more.
Right.
Everyone's going to look at you now and say, boy, he's really smart. You know, he's
yeah,
he's,
yeah.
Do you feel smarter today than you did a year ago today?
No, I really don't. It's funny, Stan Kasten, I don't know if you guys know Stan.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
He's with the Washington Nationals now. But he was my GM when I was with the Hawks. And when we made the trade, he texted me a message, and it basically said, you'll be no smarter today than you were yesterday. Don't forget that tomorrow. And I agree with that. I mean, it didn't change much. I haven't done much as far as anything different. But the talent's better. Obviously, I had to coach differently with this group of guys than I did last year with the group of guys I had. But it's nothing that we did, that I did anything different.
Hey, we look at teams who throw a bunch of talent, throw a bunch of money and throw a bunch of talent together in an attempt to win and win now. We see it all the time. The Detroit Tigers just did it, and they're struggling. The Washington
Mets.
Redskins do it every year. Phoenix acquiring Shaq. Was there a moment where you stopped and said, this is, you know, this might be one of those kind of deals where you just get a bunch of talent and hope it works and it doesn't? Or did you know because of the people involved that this was not just one of those deals where you were desperately trying to win now and you had the right combination?
I thought I did. I was not sure, you know, because we hadn't been together. Obviously, they all came in September. And worked out a month early, which I thought was huge for our basketball team because they not only worked out, but they had to play together and get to know each other. But, again, when we were in Rome and just the interaction with guys, you kind of felt that this would not be that group. And honestly, I give Kevin most of that credit because he was so focused in our shoot-arounds and our practices. You know, on the third day when we put our offense in, we stayed probably 2 to 3 hours extra, 2-3 days in a row, because he wanted to get it down. He wanted to get the whole thing in. And you could see some of the other guys were like, gosh, we're going to be here all day. But because he didn't want to hear it, everyone did it. And you just felt that it would work. The only question I had with our guys, and it's all the way going up to the playoffs, I was really nervous about that we hadn't been tested through the year. You know, I didn't think we really had any tests during the regular season. I guess coming out of All-Star break, you know, we lost those 3 games in a row. But to me, it really wasn't much of a test, you know, more than we were coming off the break and hadn't been together. So I was concerned about that. And then obviously we get into the playoffs with Atlanta and go through that tough series and then go through that tough series with Cleveland. you know, now that we survived it, I thought it was the most important thing that happened to us all year.
Hey, Doc, it's probably your nature to be shy and demure and humble and deferential when people walk up to you, as I'm sure they have since you won, and we'll do it going forward through this offseason, and look you in the eye and tell you, that was amazing. You kicked the crap out of Phil Jackson from a one-on-one coaching standpoint. What do you say to those people? Because you know what? That's what everybody's saying.
Well, I mean, it's flattering. I can tell you that, and it's really nice to hear. You know, but again, having said that, the players have to execute the plan. And I thought at the end of the day, I had 12 guys who were willing to listen to me and follow me, whether we were up by, you know, 20 or down by 20. And really, I think that was the difference.
Hey, the same people said Mike Woodson almost kicked your ass.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
Hey, Doc, who was tougher to defend in the last, the second and the fourth series, LeBron or Kobe? Who presents more problems for you and Tom?
Oh, gosh, they both do. You know, it's funny, Tom and I were sitting in my office. We were the only two guys in the office yesterday. Why we were there, I'm not sure. I went there to, bring my kids to the facility so they can just play basketball. And Tom said he had nothing to do, so he just came to the office. And we were talking about that, and we went back and forth on it. You know, at the end, I think we settled on Kobe. Just the fact that he can shoot the basketball.
Mm-hmm.
And from so many different angles, he brings the ball up. They both are very, very tough. We both thought the toughest series for us was Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
And our entire staff, Armand Hill, brought that up right after the game. He said, you know, the Lakers were tough, but the toughest series we had in our minds was Cleveland. And that was probably the biggest surprise of the playoffs. We actually thought going into the playoffs, we loved where we were at, obviously, in the one seed. But we love that Cleveland was in that seat as well, because we didn't think going into the series that they were as strong, and we were proven wrong. They were a difficult team because they were the best defensive team that we played besides ourselves.
Speaking of defense, Doc, do you expect to lose Thibodeau and or Posey?
No, I don't. I mean, Posey, obviously, with free agency, we don't know. Tom, definitely not. I wanted to.
Really?
I can tell you that. I wanted him to get a head coaching job. And, you know, him and Armand got – they both – people called about both of them. But no one gave either one an interview. And, you know, I don't know if the fact that we are still playing hurt both of the guys or not. I actually made some calls to GMs myself about both guys. And so, you know, all the jobs are full, and so no, I don't anticipate losing either one.
Hey, speaking
and with Pose, you know, that's gonna be a tough one, guys. You know,
yeah.
With free agency, I'm pretty sure he'll opt out. I don't know that. And then we're gonna have to try to get him back. He was important to our team.
Speaking of fielding phone calls or not taking them, what have you been offered and turned down and/or accepted since you won the championship, Doc?
Oh, I've been offered a lot.
Yeah.
I've turned down everything.
What have you been offered? What's the most interesting?
You know, just little deals here and there. And I'm pretty much going to do what I do, be invisible in the summer as much as I can, go spend some time on a golf course.
Yeah.
You guys are invited, of course, if
yeah.
you'd like to play one.
Excellent. Hey, you're a veteran.
Other than that, I haven't been invited. A couple of guys I know have invited me to a golf trip where they would pay the whole trip and the private planes and all that.
Oh.
I may take them up on that part of the deal.
See, you're a smart guy. Yeah. Yeah.
No Leno or Letterman or Conan for you, Doc?
No, I'm going to pass on that.
Yeah.
I really do. I think it should be about the players, and I'm just going to stay in my little world and have fun and enjoy it.
Hey, we've read bits and pieces about the last year's Duck Tour thing, and you're going to be a veteran when you get on the Ducks today.
Yes.
Was the rest of the public sitting around with cameras around their necks as well, or was it just a private Duck Tour between you and the players?
It was just a private tour. It was just Paul Ray, Kevin, and myself, and the guy driving the boat. I wish I could remember the name because he was great. You know, he kind of knew that not to say much, but when there was silence, he went into the normal Duck Tour stuff. So it was pretty comical. You know, he was like pointing at buildings over here, but he did the Duck Tour as if the Red Sox or the Patriots was on it. He didn't do it as if it was a sightseeing tour. He was saying, this is the bridge that the Patriots went under, and this is where someone threw a baseball out into Manny. I mean, he was tremendous, whoever the guy was.
And did your players look at you like you're absolutely crazy?
Well, they did when I pulled, when the, you know, they were sitting in my apartment in the lobby, and the boat pulls up, and I said, let's go. And they were looking at me, and then when we walked out to the boat, they were, you could see Kevin and Ray especially, was like, what the heck are we doing? First of all, I made them wake up extremely early to get down to the apartment. Paul knew right away. He didn't know exactly what we were doing, but he knew about the duck tour. And once we got on, I explained it to him that this is what we're going to take towards the end of June. And this is what the Red Sox had done, and this is what the Patriots had done. And so they all three had a big smile on their face. And then that's when we got into team goals and what I needed from them in order for us to win.
Were people on the sidewalk recognizing you guys and waving and screaming at you?
You know, two people, if you can, it's amazing. We went through the entire city and, but it was covered in our, we were talking so much that no one noticed.
Yeah.
But I remember the one guy at a stoplight just went crazy. And he actually yelled, your time will come. So whoever the guy was, he caught on quicker than everyone else did.
Did you go in the water? I know you're not going in the water today. You did.
Yeah, we did the water. We did everything.
Hey, Doc, we talked to Wick Grosbeck yesterday, and you know, God knows he was delirious, but he said last year, in one of the meetings, some of the meetings they had with all the basketball staff and his staff and everybody, that occasionally the idea would be floated that maybe we should change coaches. And you know that that happens in every organization, no surprise to you. But he also said they also often wondered whether you were thinking of moving on, personally saying, you're not going to fire me, I'm leaving.
Yeah, it's funny.
Did you think about that?
Yeah, oh, no doubt. More due to family than team, honestly. And, Danny called me and said they have a contract, done with my agent. And, that contract set for, I would say, a good week before I signed it. I actually came in town and we golfed. And Danny, after the round, says, hey, I have something in my car that I'd like you to sign. And it was really it was funny because I went back and forth on it, and finally I ended up signing it in the parking lot at the Turner Hill golf course on top of Danny's car.
You did. What month was this?
That was pretty late. I mean, I had the 1 year left, so I knew if I didn't sign it, it wasn't a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
But I just kept going back and forth because. I wasn't sure. I love coaching, obviously, but, just with all the family travel and that, and, we did have two tough years in a row. But I end up signing it, and I'm very happy I did, obviously.
Doc, my guess is that about an hour and a half from now, when you and your players, in particular the three you took on the duck boat tour, climb aboard those ducks, there'll be a smile and a glance and a handshake exchanged, as you recall the first time you were on there. But my guess is this one's going to feel a little different than the one where just the four of you were on board.
Yeah, it sure will. I took a cab over here to the arena today with two of my boys, and I was already amazed how crowded the streets were and how wild people are, and it's awesome. I mean, it's an awesome feeling just to see that something we've done has brought so much joy to so many people. It really is. You underestimate that. I already have, and, you're really humbled by it, I can tell you that.
All right, I want you to handicap. Who is most likely to pull a Papelbon on your squad on the duck boats today?
It's easy. Glenn Davis.
Yeah, that was your choice.
There's no doubt about who will be the wildest. He definitely will be.
Hey, just a completely irrelevant question here. Did Sam Cassell, did you ask him if he wanted to go in the game six, go play a couple minutes, and he said, no, let those guys stay out there?
Yeah, that was really classy. He says, hey, coach, I'm good. I've been here before, and I'm here now. Let those guys play and have fun. They deserve it.
And I assume you think Cassell and P.J. Brown, their time is done here.
Yeah, in a lot of ways, I hope not, especially with P.J. He told me it's probably over. And I said, well, I've heard that before from you, and we have the gift of talking people out of it. And he started laughing. But I think he'll think about coming back. I'm not sure if he will. I don't think either one will.
See, I think you should have got a technical for taunting when you put a big baby on Gasol. I mean, that was just an insult. He got a 7-foot and you put this little six, whatever he is, seven or
six
eight.
6x6.
6x6 guy. And you put a guy who was retired and home with his family in February on Gasol.
I mean, yeah, that was nice. You know, baby was fantastic. When you think about it, as much as he said and the coming to that game, and yeah. I told him before the game there was a very good chance he was playing tonight. It's funny, I told Danny before the game, I just had a feel for baby because I thought it was going to be an energy game. And baby obviously plays well in those type of games. But he gets under your skin, guys. He really does. Mm. And he did with Gasol.
Well, Doc, as we wrap this thing up for the final time this season, on behalf of Jerry and all of our listeners who have enjoyed every single conversation with you during the course of this amazing and very entertaining season, I personally want to thank you for your honesty and your candor and your patience and your ability to listen to some of our stupid questions and actually answer like we know what we're talking about and really shed some light on what's been a tremendous season to watch even from afar, Doc. Thanks very much.
Well, guys, I really appreciate it, and I'll tell you this. I thought your question was far smarter this year than they were in the two previous years. Well, I'll tell you that.
We're all getting smarter.
That's because you were smarter than you were last year as well.
Exactly.
Hey, Doc, we're going to have our people get in touch with your people to get the signed shirt. Can you handle Paul and you signing it?
I will definitely get it done.
And we'll get the bucket, and we'll get this thing to the Shamrock Foundation and earn some big bucks for you tomorrow.
I love it.
Doc,
thank you.
Enjoy yourself today. Well-deserved.
Oh, thank you, guys.
Doc Rivers with Dennis and Callahan.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.